Good morning. Good morning, ladies. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, I can hear myself now. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure to be up here in Washington. We're from Southern California, but I'm originally from New Zealand, and so some of the neighborhoods were reminding me of where I grew up, and so it was kind of nice just to experience that. And I'm sure that you maybe noticed earlier that I had a little bit of an accent, but it's funny because my New Zealand family think that I sound 100% American, so I've lost a lot of it. I moved here when I was 14. And then I kind of have sort of a half California, half New Zealand accent now, and I guess that it sounds like a Rhode Island accent because someone asked me if I was from Rhode Island. So anyway, sounds a little funky, but bear with me, and really blessed to be here this morning and just to have this time just separated from the men so we can talk about lady stuff. And I just was thinking earlier how the Lord's pleasure is upon us this morning because we're all here gathered to want to grow in Him, to grow in spiritual maturity, to grow as godly wives. And so I'm excited to share with you and for us to just link arms together and be serious about our responsibility as wives, just to be the best and most godly wives around. And so that's what my prayer is this morning, is that you would be encouraged. I know for me personally, something that I really wanted in my life as I've grown in the Lord, I got saved at 7. And over the years, as I've grown in spiritual maturity and still have so far to go, I've always appreciated encouragement and grace, but not just to stop right there. I've really been blessed by having exhortation in my life, and even really just a good kick in the pants sometimes, you know, because I think that that helps us to be pushed forward in our growth. And when we're constantly coddled, then we're not going to grow. And so that's my hope this morning, is just to balance that, to encourage you to put wind in your sails, but also just to give you some things to think on. And I pray that the Lord would just convict our hearts in the areas that we need to be convicted in. So let me pray for us this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for the bond that we have in you, that we can be strangers and then instantaneously friends because we are believers, Lord, that we have the bond of Jesus. And I thank you for my sisters here this morning, Lord. They represent many different stories, and you know all those stories. You know what goes on behind the scenes, the ups and the downs, the pain and the sorrow and the joy and all of it all mixed in, Lord. I just thank you that you have given us another day to live for you, and I pray that you would help us to continue to grow in you, Lord, that you would speak through me this morning, that you would give me the words to say, and that your word would go forth and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I appreciate a good date night out with my husband. And over the years, that wasn't always easy to get every week. We always would try to get date nights in, and we love to have even like weekend getaways. But with 5 children, and when they're all young and we were homeschooling, it was difficult to do that too often. But ultimately, I think it's very important to set that time aside with your husband. But really what is going to have the greater impact on your marriage is going to be those daily investments that you make into your marriage. And so as you are going through life and the busyness of our lives here in America, I feel like we live fast-paced and there's always so much going on. We do have to be very intentional, and we must remember that our relationship with our husband is the most important human relationship that we have. For those of you that have children, you realize quickly that your children are growing fast, and then eventually it most likely will be just you and your husband, and your relationship and that closeness is going to last a lifetime, so you always want to be nurturing it. And I think that sometimes what can happen is, you know, we think of our husbands as, you know, he's an adult, he's a big boy, you know, he can take care of himself. And so we feel that maybe he can, that he doesn't need to come first, or maybe that our children need to come before him, or maybe you have a job outside of the home that is pressing in your life, and so that becomes a priority. Or maybe it's even ministry in the church where that's your main focus. And so I want to remind us today of just the importance of keeping that focus on our marriages, keeping that focus on pouring into our marriages and having that mindset that that's not something that's going to go to the wayside, that you're putting something into it and that you're making it a priority. And I don't know about you, but in life I feel that I tend to get a good focus on something and all of a sudden I end up over here again, and I have to bring myself back to, wait, I need to be working on this, you know, whether it's with parenting or with marriage. Always making sure that I'm revisiting those things that are important, that are easy, so easy to move away from. So a while back, I created a mission statement for my marriage and also some resolutions. And some of you might be familiar with Jonathan Edwards' resolutions. He created 70 of these resolutions, I think, when he was a teenager, and those are for his personal walk with the Lord. And if you read them, they're incredibly convicting and almost feel a little bit overwhelming. I just created 12. I couldn't do 70 for my marriage, but I even those 12 can feel overwhelming at times if we're not plugged into the Lord and recognizing how much that we need the Lord to help us to stay on track and to keep that focus and to make sure that we're putting our marriages before other relationships. And I think oftentimes when we make a list of things like these resolutions that I created, that it's so easy to feel overwhelmed by it and to think, oh no, that feels just like some legalistic list. And that's not what I'm meaning. With this list, for me, it was helpful just to regain that focus all that time, to come back to that, to be able to keep coming back over and over and reminding myself of who I wanted to be as a wife and pray over that list. And so as mature Christians, we really can just be excited about something like this because we know there's so much grace in the Lord. We know that we can't be perfect and that the Lord is so gracious in our weaknesses. So we can have these goals in mind and these determinations and just entrust those into the Lord's care. And I think that's important for us. It's important for us to be thinking through that, because when we don't have a plan, oftentimes we end up going a certain way that tends to not be the right way, just because of our sinful nature. So when we have a plan in place and we have direction, it's helpful for us to be able to keep that course and stay on course in our marriages. And, you know, you don't need to be married for a long time to realize the utter hopelessness of trying to do things in your own strength or to be the perfect wife and to do it without the Lord. We must be desperate for the Lord's enabling power. And that means abiding in Christ. And we abide in Christ by spending time with Him, by being in the Word, and being in prayer. And so when we're neglecting that, we oftentimes see in our lives that there's bad fruit from it. You know, when we're not in the Word, we're not filling up on God's promises and His direction and guidance in the Word, then we become spiritually empty and we're not able to pour into our marriages. And so we need to be desperate for His enabling power to love our husbands. And when we abide in Christ, we will be able to love our husbands well. So I want to encourage you to write your own mission statement. I'm going to share mine with you today and maybe write some resolutions out. And I think this will be helpful, especially when you cater it to your marriage and maybe your own weaknesses and the way that you need to focus. And so I'm going to share with you what I created in hopes that it would be an encouragement to you to do the same. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to, because we don't have enough time, I'm just going to take about 5 of these resolutions and kind of expound on them a little bit and just encourage you in that way. So here's my mission statement. It says, "May my husband see in me a passion to glorify God in all that I do, which is displayed by a gentle and quiet spirit, kindness and encouragement on my tongue, submissiveness and willingness to yield, and a deep faith and hope in God, which is exhibited by contagious joy." this is what I want to be as a wife. And it's a high calling. It's something that I look at sometimes and think, wow, I'm lacking in a lot of those areas today. But God is so gracious as I continue to put one foot in front of the other and seek Him to help me with these things. And now I'm going to share all of my resolutions with you, and those kind of basically bounce off of that mission statement. So I'll just share those with you, and then we'll go back and go through five of them and just hopefully encourage you today. Resolved to love and serve my husband unconditionally, expecting nothing in return. Resolved to limitlessly forgive, remembering the constant flow of forgiveness I receive from God. Resolved to speak words of affirmation, encouragement, and kindness to my husband. Resolved to communicate my love by listening well to my husband. Resolved to respond with humility when my husband corrects me. Resolved to be an optimistic, joyful, and hopeful wife. Resolved to not allow myself to be annoyed and irritated with petty issues in my marriage. Resolved to never react to my husband's sin with a sinful response. Resolved to be mature and strong in the Lord and not allow myself to be overly sensitive. Resolved to be obedient and submissive to my husband. Excuse me. Resolved to sympathize with my husband's weaknesses and sins, remembering my own sinful heart. Resolved to have my spiritual armor on and be ready for the daily battles my husband and I will face. Resolved to daily surrender my hopes and dreams for my marriage, trusting in God's care for me. So you could write your own resolutions and then read them every day, or even just focus on one each day, or focus on weak areas and areas that you really need to grow in. And I found this to be so helpful as we really take a look. You know, it's like obviously all of us in this room want to be godly wives, and that's a prayer that we would be godly wives, but it's helpful for us to take to look a little closer, to kind of put a magnifying glass on that and say, well, what does that look like? And I know it's been helpful to me over the years when I've heard people share specific things that we need to challenge ourselves on, because of course we all want to act out in love to our husbands, and we want to be these godly wives, but sometimes it's helpful to kind of narrow that down and say, well, what does that look like in these specific situations that many of us encounter? We have similar lives and similar struggles, I've found, as I've ministered to women over the years. And so, you know, it's helpful for us to dig a little bit deeper and say, okay, what does that look like? So number one, let's go over this one. Resolved to love and serve my husband unconditionally, expecting nothing in return. This is tough. This is very tough when to have no expectations. And oftentimes I think that we have expectations that we didn't even realize that we had. And so maybe that might be something like appreciation. Like we really have this expectation that our husband is going to show appreciation, and then that doesn't happen. Or maybe we have an expectation that he's going to listen well, or we want him to listen well, to be a good listener. Maybe we want him to be more thoughtful, or expecting him to be more thoughtful in different situations. Valentine's Day is coming up, so I know that oftentimes is an issue for a lot of women where they have these expectations and get very disappointed. And so it's helpful for us to be able to take a look in there and say, okay, am I really loving and serving my husband unconditionally, expecting nothing in return, and really starting from that place? Excuse me. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, thank you so much, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This is such a convicting portion here in Philippians, specifically that line that says, and lowliness of mind, so that's humility, let each esteem others better than himself. And it's so easy for us to wake up each day and think about ourselves because it's our natural bent. We think about what we need, what we want, what we're bothered by, and we often don't naturally just wake up and think, how can I bless my husband today? So really changing that mindset and praying for that, that we would be able to get up and love and serve with no conditions. Because oftentimes when those expectations aren't met, then we'll pull back on that. We'll pull back on serving and loving because we feel like we haven't received anything, so why are we going to give anything back? And we have to correct that worldly mindset because that's exactly what the world says. If I'm not receiving anything good in this relationship, then I guess I'm going to need to move on. And you see that all over social media, just that, you know, reminder to women all the time, like, hey, if this relationship is not serving you, then you need to move on. And that is absolutely the opposite of what the Bible says, that the Bible says that we need to be esteeming others better than ourselves. And that's a beautiful thing when we live that way and we trust the Lord with our lives. And we think of our husbands before we think of ourselves. Think about this. When expectations are unmet, yet graciousness is chosen over frustration, this is love. So think about that. You know, in those times when you, those expectations were not met, but you decide that you are going to be gracious instead of frustrated, this is acting out in love, and it's beautiful, and it's a sacrifice to the Lord, and God will bless it. Sorry, I have nice frog in my throat. And that doesn't mean that you can't discuss things with your husband. So ultimately, you know, we hear this often that communication is so important in a marriage. And of course, like, there are times for us to communicate the things that we would desire or even things that are troublesome to us. But if we live our lives that way, always nitpicking or always thinking, well, you're not doing this and you're not doing that, then we're never going to be truly acting in love and doing what the Lord has called us to do, to start first with ourselves. And that's what it comes down to, and that's the blessing of being able to break off as men and women this morning, so I can speak directly to you as women. And because I have you, I'm not talking to your husbands, I'm talking to you. And so ultimately, I'm going to be just sharing things that we can be working on instead of thinking, well, what about him and what is he doing? And obviously, you know, my husband talked about being cautious with any areas of abuse. Of course, you need to bring those to the light immediately. And, you know, maybe deeper issues that need marriage counseling. But on the average, with the average marriage and the average struggles, ultimately what we need to be thinking about is, how am I loving the Lord today? How am I serving the Lord? How am I being obedient to him in my marriage? So we want to not count on those expectations to be met before we decide that we're going to love and serve our husbands unconditionally. Paul Tripp said, there is never a day in your marriage when you aren't called to be willing. There is never a day in your marriage when some personal sacrifice is not needed. There is never a day when you are free from the need to consider the good of your husband or wife. There is never a day when you aren't called to do what is not reciprocated and to offer what has not been deserved. There is never a day when your marriage can coast along without being infused by this kind of love. And so we see this just all throughout the word of being loving and serving one another and trusting the Lord with those needs and remembering that we are serving the Lord. Colossians 3 verses 23 to 24 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So this is so important for us to remember. We forget that oftentimes, that we are ultimately serving the Lord. And so when we're saying no to doing these things for our husbands or just serving in love, we're saying no to the Lord. We're saying that we don't want to serve the Lord. And so when we remember that, then we can serve in love, and especially when we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, because then we're not looking at what our husband's doing and being so concerned about his weaknesses and his sins, but we're fixed on the Lord, and we are remembering that he's going to give us the strength to do the things that are difficult to do, because that's challenging, to be able to continue to serve and love even when someone else is not doing the same things. But the Lord has promised his strength for us, and we need to trust him for it. Paul Tripp says also, love seeks vertical fulfillment so it can horizontally serve. Vertical fulfillment from the Lord so that we can horizontally serve others and serve our husbands. So when we're not finding that fulfillment in the Lord, where we're not bathing ourselves in scripture and being fed and filled up and spiritually strong, building our muscles spiritually, then we don't have what it takes to be able to serve that way. But when we're just filled up with God's word and we become eternally minded, we're setting our mind on things above. And so then we're not as worried about those silly things that are bothering us and getting under our skin, because we're eternally minded. We know that this world is not our home and that we should be living for eternity. Think about this. In the moments when you are objectively working, serving, or doing more than your husband, yet you refuse to compare, this is love. We have to think about this a lot as women, because we oftentimes think, well, I just feel like I'm doing so much, and what is he doing? Especially when you have young children, there's that temptation to be comparing. But when you decide, I'm not going to compare, I'm just going to work as unto the Lord, I'm going to serve the Lord and have those conversations that might be needed, but focus on that, then that's love. That's truly loving your husband when you decide that you're going to do that, and it's loving the Lord. So that's number one, resolve to love and serve your husband unconditionally, expecting nothing in return. Number two, resolve to limitlessly forgive, remembering the constant flow of forgiveness I receive from God. Izzy talked about this quite a lot this morning, just that forgiveness that we receive from the Lord. And we oftentimes just forget it. We get so focused on our husbands and on other people too, and what they're doing, and things are standing out to us, and we're so bothered by different things or habits or ways that we feel like we've been wronged, that we forget about the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. So when we take some time to meditate on that, then we remember, wow, I've been forgiven so much. Psalm 51 verses 3 to 4 says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Notice that phrase there, my sin is always before me. And that's not in the way of condemnation, but just remembering that we're sinners. It's so easy to forget how sinful our hearts are, because maybe we're not out, you know, murdering people or robbing banks or doing crazy things, but there's so much sin that is swirling in our hearts and our minds that God sees all the time. And he is so forgiving, so forgiving. And so, hi, you're raising your hand? Yes. Oh, yes. Psalm 51, verses 3 through 4. 3 through 4. So, you know, obviously, like I said earlier, this doesn't mean that you can't talk about the big issues in your marriage, but it just means that you're not harboring issues, that they're not staying in your heart and festering in there. David speaks often of God's mercy. It's an attribute of God's that really stands out to him, and it's something that we should meditate on often, is just the mercy of God. Psalm 86 verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." We need to be inspired by David in this way and ask ourselves, how can we not freely extend mercy and forgiveness based on what God has forgiven us of? Dave Harvey said, "Do you know God as a God of mercy? Do you see your spouse as God sees him or her through eyes of mercy? If your answer to either question is no, it is unlikely that your marriage is sweet. Mercy sweetens marriage. Where it is absent, two people flog one another over everything from failure to fix the faucet to phone bills. But where it is present, marriage grows sweeter and more delightful, even in the face of challenges, setbacks, and the persistent effects of our remaining sin." We all want forgiveness, and we really need it, and so we need to extend it to our husbands. Luke 6:31 says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." We need to be pouring out mercy and grace on our husbands, and being serious about that, remembering how much we need it in different times. We get so blinded to that. We get so blinded to our own weaknesses that we forget what it's like to need that mercy. And when we're extending it often, it's a beautiful thing. I think sometimes the big areas are obvious, you know, those big things, those big hurts that we've experienced from our husbands. We recognize I need to forgive him because this hurt me so badly. I really need to be serious about forgiving that issue. But the daily small things need extra focus because sometimes we don't realize that we're being unforgiving with the little things that happen day to day. And we may not be extending grace, and we may not recognize that we are lacking in graciousness. Maybe it's your husband being insensitive, maybe some selfishness that you're seeing in him, impatience. Maybe it's not helping you in ways that you would like him to help you, and you're just harboring that, and you're being unforgiving and not extending grace to it and releasing it. There's such a beauty in letting go of things and letting things roll off of you. As women, we tend to be sensitive, and that causes us to be tempted to harbor things. So when we learn to just let things roll off, it's beautiful, letting go of things that are really petty. Obviously, there are bigger things that need to be discussed, but those small things we can be just... we can just nag so much about them and make such a big thing out of them. They're so small in the grand scheme of life. Think about this. When a bad mood is responded to with patience rather than annoyance, this is love. So this is grace, too. This is being gracious and forgiving. Your husband is in a bad mood, and you just feel so upset about it. And why is he taking that out on everybody? And obviously, something that might need to be discussed at certain times, if there are some days where you just need to decide to be forgiving and gracious and love on him through that and just extend the love of the Lord there. Think about this. And when there's an opportunity to bring up past wrongdoings, but it is avoided, this is love. So that temptation to bring something up when you're in a disagreement or you're having a hard conversation and you want to bring up the past, when you decide to release that and not bring it up, that's love, that's grace, and it's beautiful in the sight of the Lord. So that's number two, be resolved to limitlessly forgive, remembering the constant flow of forgiveness you receive from God. Number three, resolve to speak words of affirmation, encouragement, and kindness to my husband. I think maybe if I had read this right before I got married, I would have thought, why would you need to be resolved and determined to do that? You know, like, wouldn't that just be natural just to speak that way to your husband? But I think that what happens is we get comfortable, life gets busy and crazy and stressful, and we don't slow down enough to take the time to just pour in to our husbands so much beauty that can come from the words that we speak. To affirm means to acknowledge something good, and synonyms for encourage are to applaud, boost, hearten, gladden, prop up, praise, rally, refresh, restore, revitalize, stir, and strengthen. All of these words bring such beautiful description to what we can be doing with our husbands. And we can put wind in their sails. We can make or break them. And we downplay the power of words, but the Bible talks often about how strong the strength that is behind words, and that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so when we're mindful of this and we decide that we want to be more affirming and encouraging and kind to our husbands, it's a beautiful thing and it reaps really good fruit. It's going to take focus to do that. And so even having accountability with a friend is important. I have a friend, her and I just will send a text to each other, and I'll just put the word focused, and that is for her and I both to remember to focus on our husbands, not get wrapped up so much with our kids and ministry and what's going on, but to take the time to focus and to slow down and to send our husbands a text or go give them a hug or just do something to invest, because it's amazing the longer that you're married, the more those things can kind of go to the wayside because there's so much pressure and responsibility and just life that can pull you away from each other. So you want to draw closer to him and affirm and encourage him. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." This is such a powerful verse. It's one of my favorites, really, but so incredibly convicting with just those few words. When you open your mouth, that wisdom would come out, and on your tongue is the law of kindness. What a beautiful woman that is that lives this way, that flows with wisdom that only comes from the Lord, and that comes from being in his word, because we find all the wisdom that we need for life in his word, and then having that outflow of kindness, and that comes from time spent with the Lord, because when you spend time with Jesus, your heart is filled up with his goodness. So we have to make that choice to be kind and sweet with our words and not use closeness as an excuse. You get so close in your marriage and so familiar that you can let your guard down and your words can become careless. You can start to be sarcastic and cutting. And that's no excuse. You know, we don't have to be formal with each other like we just met each other. You can be very close and very familiar, but you can also flow with sweetness towards your husband. But sometimes you've got to stop in your tracks and realize, wow, I'm so comfortable with him that I'll just say everything that comes to mind, and if I'm annoyed, I'll say it. I'll just let those words out, and I'll tell them exactly what I think, and that is not godly. That is not pleasing to the Lord. So we have to recognize the ugliness of it, and we have to recognize that there needs to be change if that's happening, and that could take a little bit of time, but having that consistent focus is going to help you as you continue to pray for it, that the words that come out of your mouth would be kind and wise. When I told you so is an option, but kind words are spoken instead, this is love. So using that self-control in that moment when you have mentioned something to your husband and what you mentioned happens and you want to just say, I told you so, but you refrain from it. That is kindness. That is love. That's deciding, you know what? I don't need to rub that in his face. How unkind is that? I don't like it when people do that to me. I'm not going to do that to him. So being mindful of those areas that we're so loose in. And, you know, we tend to push ourselves to speak more kindly to those who are outside of our homes. And especially maybe even when we're having a bad day. You know, you're having the worst day ever and you're just grumpy and being rude in your home. And then someone calls you on the phone and you answer it really sweetly. You know, like that's like, obviously you have the capability to be sweet, but there's a choice that's being made there. And so recognizing that in yourself, sometimes we just need that wake-up call to just be like, whoa, I really am different. Outside of my home, I push myself so much more, and we're able to do it, but we don't because we're too loose and we've allowed these things in our lives. So when you keep those accounts short, you repent of them, and you recognize and you point out, hey, this was wrong what I said to you. This was wrong, that sarcastic remark that I made. Will you please forgive me? When you do that, you start keeping those accounts short, and it just doesn't become the norm in your home anymore. The habit becomes kindness in your home. Of course, we're going to stumble into sin, but we don't want it just to be rampant. We don't want that the opposite of those things, that the encouragement, the affirmation, to be in our homes. Sometimes our husband is going to need a good dose of encouragement because we're going through seasons that are so difficult. But you might feel that you don't even know how to encourage him because you're feeling so discouraged yourself. And this is when we need to remember that the Lord has everything that we need to strengthen us. We just need to go to him. And oftentimes we're going to other things to feel encouraged or to feel better or to try to find joy. And instead of going to the Lord, we're going to other things, and or we're just tuning out or shutting down or whatever it is. And so we've got to be proactive and really lean in hard to the Lord, and even in friendship. You know, the Lord blesses us with godly friends that can encourage us. And so meeting with a friend for coffee can really just encourage your marriage. It can really strengthen your marriage when you have that trusted friend, someone that's going to push you on, that's not going to sit and gossip with you about your husband, that's actually going to just, you know, call you to attention and say, hey, I think you really need to to apologize to him for that. You want to look for friends like that because they're going to stir you up in the Lord and they're going to push you forward, and it's going to be such a good help to your marriage. Listen to what J.A. James has to say about the influence a wife can have. This is a somewhat long quote, but I really want you guys to listen to it because I think it is so beautiful. And it makes me kind of giggle to think of posting this on social media and seeing the response from feminists. So I want you to keep that in mind, just the beauty of God's word and how when we're submitted to the Lord and we want to live for him, that our spirit will be a witness, like we'll receive this with joy because we understand who we are in Christ. We understand that the Lord loves us and that he has a plan for our lives and a purpose and roles for us in our marriages, and they're beautiful. So he says, "Woman's mission is to be the suitable helpmate of that man to whom she has given herself as a companion of his pilgrimage upon earth. She is in wedded life to be his constant companion, in whose companionship he is to find one who meets him hand to hand, eye to eye, lip to lip, and heart to heart, to whom he can unburden the secrets of a heart pressed down with care or wrung with anguish, whose presence shall be to him above all other friendship, whose voice shall be his sweetest music, whose smiles his brightest sunshine, from whom he shall go forth with regret, and to whose company he shall return with willing feet when the toils of the day are over, who shall walk near his loving heart and feel the throbbing of affection as her arm leans on his and presses on his side. In his hours of private companionship, he shall tell her all the secrets of his heart, find in her all the capabilities and all the promptings of the most tender and endeared fellowship, and in her gentle smiles and unrestrained speech, enjoy all to be expected in one who was given by God to be his companion and friend. That companionship which woman was designed to afford to man must, of course, be included the sympathetic offices of the comforter. It is hers in the hours of retirement to console and cheer him when he is injured or insulted, to heal the wounds of his troubled spirit, when burdened by care, to lighten his load by sharing it, when groaning with anguish, to calm by her peace-speaking words the tumult of his heart, and act in all his sorrows the part of a ministering angel." So, this is some heavy stuff. This is beautiful, but when you read it, it just feels, you know, I don't know about you, but you kind of see all of your glaring weaknesses in different areas. But it is so beautiful, and it's so, I think it's wonderful to have something to strive for. And you can do that in God's grace. And I often see in women's circles that women get almost like a rebellious or like a push. They push back against something like this. They feel almost angry, like, that's, you know, why do I have to do this? What about him? It's always pointing fingers or like, that's too much to put on one person to act that way, to be that way. But when you know God's grace and you understand, like, you're standing before him, like where we stand before him because of the cross, then there's joy there. There's confidence. Being confident that God's going to do that work in you little by little. It's not going to be perfect, but you can strive for it, and you don't have to be condemned. You're not condemned as a Christian. And so you can look at this and say, this is beautiful, and this is who I want to be as a wife. And I love that mindset, that teachability. It's humility, because pride says, no, I don't want to be that, or that seems like too much, and what are you telling him to do? And so worried about what other people are doing. But when you are caught up in God's presence, when you're fellowshipping with the Lord, then this makes sense, because there's so much joy that comes from growing in the Lord and receiving strength from him and recognizing that he gives power to the weak. And he's so good and so kind and sympathetic to us. So this is going to take focus and determination, which the whole of the Christian life takes that, right? Like, to grow in holiness, we can't just be lazy. We can't just expect it to happen on its own. We have to obviously trust in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we have to be willing to do some of that work, to make some of those choices, to be proactive. We must also guard against being contentious, which is the opposite of encouraging. And maybe we're unaware of how contentious we can be at times. It means to be combative, quarrelsome, and argumentative. Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs 27, 15 through 16, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. So it's like she's impossible to deal with, you know, and how ugly is that to be a contentious woman? And oftentimes we can see that in someone else, but we don't see it in ourselves. And it could be happening in smaller ways in our homes. You know, you might see someone that's just like brazenly, just blunt and rude and mean to her husband, like maybe even the grocery store or something. And you can judge that, but not recognize that some of that stuff is happening in your own home. And I think oftentimes this can happen with some of us that are more quiet by nature as well, because other people would think of us as soft and maybe have that gentle and quiet spirit, but it really has nothing to do with temperament. It's really a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's about spiritual growth. So even if you are softer by nature, you're more introverted, you're more quiet, you still have the potential inside of you to be a mean wife. And so it's important for us to be mindful. What are the words that are coming out of my mouth? Am I encouraging, affirming, uplifting, and kind to my husband? So that's number three. Be resolved to speak words of affirmation, encouragement, and kindness to your husband. Number four, resolve to be an optimistic, joyful, and hopeful wife. Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." This is a big weakness for me. I am a glass half empty person. I like to say that I'm just being realistic, but I oftentimes am pessimistic. And when things start to go down and everything's looking like, oh no, I'm just, you know, I'm way far ahead in my mind of all the bad things that are going to happen and how bad tomorrow is going to be and the next day and next month and how am I going to last through another year of this trial or these things that I'm experiencing with my children or whatever it might be. And so I can often just let my emotions take over and just be annoyed and full of complaints. And it's just been a big work that God has had to do in my life just to make me aware of it and really acknowledge, like, this really is a strong weakness that I can't just let naturally play out. If I let it naturally play out and just go with what I'm feeling, what's on my heart today? Well, what's on my heart today is a lot of complaints, you know? And so it's really recognizing that I had to make changes. And by God's grace, I have been able to change over the years, but it was kind of a revelation to me when I got married. I didn't really know a lot of the things about myself that needed to change until I got married. So it was good. It was a good thing because it was helpful in my sanctification, but definitely a bit bumpy at times. And so I think there are practical ways that we can help ourselves in the pursuit of being a joyful and hopeful wife. Obviously, that time spent with the Lord is so important, and we can oftentimes prioritize so many other things over that. So we have to be mindful to not prioritize other things, to get to bed at a decent hour so you can get up early if that's the time that you usually will spend with the Lord, and just to dig into the Word and make sure that you're aligning your heart with His Word. Otherwise, you're this way. You're not on that straight track. You're going to be in all different places, especially because we just, you know, our minds can just get so far ahead. You watch the news, you know, there's so many sad things happening in people's lives. There's troubles with your children. There's so much that we could complain about and that we have the temptation to complain about. But when we are coming before the Lord, we're just pouring our hearts out to Him, then there's strength in that. And I love the example of David. I love the Psalms where David just pours his heart out to the Lord. It's not like he has to be fake and put on this happy smile every day. No, he pours out his heart to the Lord and says, "I'm struggling. Like, this is miserable. Why is this happening?" But then he always seems to end with, "But I'm going to hope in God." Or he tells himself, "Hey, hope in God." And so you've got to preach to your heart. You have to make sure that what you're thinking on is true. These things that you're thinking on, are they true? And are they revealing trust in the Lord? Because ultimately, at the root of a lot of this is a lack of trust in the Lord. And I don't like to admit that. I don't like to say, you know, I want to be able to say, "Yeah, I totally trust the Lord." But, well, in those times when I'm complaining and I'm annoyed and I'm worried or I'm lacking joy, I have to be honest and say, I am not trusting the Lord right now. And that will turn things around in your heart and your mind when you recognize that and ask him for his help. You know, because sometimes joy just really needs to be fought for. You know, I've seen this specifically in my life, and all of you have experienced this, but I think even just being raised in a Christian home and getting saved at a young age, I didn't have like a big emotional experience that a lot of people have when they get born again. There's just this huge emotional experience. And, you know, obviously that's not like something that lasts a lifetime, but it was just I've seen over the years how I've had to fight for joy. I've had to speak to my own heart because the feelings are not there. I don't feel like reading the word. I don't feel like praying. And so being disciplined to do the things that you know are right despite what you're feeling, and that will lead you to strength and to growing in those different areas. Because there are so many things in life that we just don't feel like doing that are good for us. And then as we do those things, we will grow in enjoying them more or even just longing for them more. But there are those little seasons where you're going to have to fight for that. You're going to have to fight for that time with the Lord. And as you do it, you're going to crave it more and more. But we definitely go through the dry times. You want to have your verses ready to counsel and comfort yourself first and foremost. And then the Lord will use you to counsel and comfort other people. It's amazing how that happens when you share something with someone and then all of a sudden, you know, or vice versa, you share something with someone and all of a sudden you need that same verse a couple of days later. And so we need to make sure that we need to be fighting for joy with the best weapon that we can fight with, and that's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Also, know when you are weak. You know, there are just certain times that we are weaker and we are going to be lacking in joy and optimism and hope, and this can really relate to even just physically what you're feeling, whether it's just hormonal changes or fatigue, just being so exhausted when you have young children and you're at the end of the day, there's still so much to be done and you're just feeling like I can't go another minute and I just feel mad and frustrated and just really pessimistic. It's like you have to in that moment realize, okay, but I need to continue to fight on because I still have to interact with human beings. I still have to interact with my children and my husband, and I don't want to take that out on them. I want to continue to show that joy and optimism and hope and not just be miserable because of my circumstances or what I'm feeling. We have to just be consistent with crying out to the Lord and trusting him to meet you in those times when you just feel like, I can't do this. It's so difficult to speak words of life. And I think it's important to communicate in those times when you are struggling. You know, there's plenty of times, and I think this is what's really helped me in my marriage over the years, of just in the early days, Izzy would come home and I would just be so lacking joy when the kids were all little and they were sick, and just there was this hard times or just that look on my face of just zero joy, you know. And being able to just push through that and give that smile and speak those words of hope, but at the same time communicating that this is hard and this is your hope, that you want to be joyful. So it's helped me just to tell Izzy when I'm really, really struggling that, hey, I'm having some struggles right now, to be joyful. And, you know, this is who I want to be. This is what I want to say. Can you give me a few minutes? You know, even getting a little bit of space sometimes and recognizing that you might need some time to see your heart in the right place. And so communicating that, I know like when I communicate those things with my husband, it's so helpful for him to know where my heart is, because in my heart, I could really be wanting to just grow in these areas and not act out with pessimism and hopelessness and moodiness. In my heart, I can desire to not be doing that, but if I'm not communicating that, it just seems like I don't care, and I'm just going to live this way forever, and I'm not actively trying to grow in the Lord. So just sharing it and sharing those weaknesses and praying with your husband is so helpful. The Lord is just so faithful and gracious, no matter how often we blow it, and that's such a consolation that he's at work in us, even when we just feel like we can't seem to grow in certain areas and just keep taking those two steps back. I have a friend who's very predictable, And she's predictable in such a great way. She's just a very gracious and enthusiastic person. And if you ask anything of her, she goes above and beyond. And she's just so willing to be helpful. And she just stands out in my mind as someone that just is ready just to drop everything just to bless other people, and always reassuring. And, you know, something about someone that's just reassuring to you, that's like, don't worry about it, it's okay, I'll take care of this. Like, it just, you know that person can be counted on. And she's just incredibly predictable that way. And I like to use her as an example of just predictability. Like, there are certain things that we do as human beings that are predictable. Like, we become predictable in our homes. And that could be positive or it could be negative. You know, you could be predictable, like maybe when your children spill something, to respond with just graciousness and patience. Or you could be predictable to get mad every time that they do that. And some of us, I think, maybe would be a mix of that. But, you know, there are certain things we need to look at in our lives and say, what's my predictability with this? You know, I think that we obviously all fall into sin on a daily basis, but how do we typically respond to certain circumstances with our husbands? And I'm sure our husbands really could predict a lot of those things that are typical for us to respond in certain ways. I was predictable when we first got married, when my husband would call me to let me know he was going to be late for dinner. I started to recognize in myself that I would always respond with just like, oh, that's such a bummer. And like, I was just sad about it. Like, instead of just being like helpful and encouraging, like, okay, no problem, it's okay, I'll heat up the food later. But I always just like, oh, like negative. And so I all of a sudden one day noticed that in myself and thought, I do not want him to think, oh, pick up the phone and he knows exactly what that negative response is going to be. I want him to feel that I'm encouraging him just to do whatever he needs to do, and I'll be waiting when he gets home. And so we need to be mindful of these types of things. So I want to ask you guys a few questions. You don't need to answer out loud. Just to get your minds going on this, because it's helpful for us to think along these lines. How would my husband expect me to respond when he asked me to do something for him on top of my busy schedule? With annoyance or with joyful willingness? How would my husband expect me to respond when he calls me to ask about my day? With pessimism and misery or with optimism and hope? That doesn't mean that you can't be honest, but it's the way that you communicate that honesty. How would my husband expect me to respond when the day is stressful and everything is going wrong? With irritability and complaining, or with joy and thanksgiving? So I think we need to ask ourselves these questions more often so that we can become more predictable to respond in the Spirit. Obviously, we're going to struggle and slip, but when we have this constant predictability to get mad about certain things every single time that they happen, or to respond to us husbands in a sarcastic way every single time something happens, then we need to really do some self-reflection and some repentance and really ask the Lord to help us to grow in those areas. As Christian wives, we should be predictable, predictable to respond to life with optimism, joy, and hope, because we have a hope that cannot be taken away from us. So ultimately, that really is how we should live. When we truly are holding on to that hope and we understand the gospel, then we should have that hopeful and joyful and optimistic attitude, even when things are really, even when we're going through hard times. And that doesn't mean we can't grieve and be honest and talk about struggles, but it really has a lot to do with how we communicate it. And so that's number four, be resolved to be an optimistic, joyful, and hopeful wife. Number five, resolve to daily surrender my hopes and dreams for my marriage, trusting in God's care for me. As we pour our lives out and give our all in loving our husbands, it really is a test of faith, because we do have these hopes and dreams for our marriages. We do have these desires to be treated a certain way. And ultimately, you know, we have to be trusting the Lord with this. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't get marriage counseling and get outside help and accountability. Those things are very, very important. But at the roots of all this, we have to really start with trusting in the Lord and surrendering those things that we desire to the Lord. Otherwise, we're just going to be wives that are constantly disappointed in our husbands, and we're always looking at someone else and wishing that we had their life and wishing a husband was like their husband. So when we surrender that to the Lord, then any of those hopes and dreams that come to pass are an added bonus or a blessing from the Lord. But ultimately, we have to be trusting in the Lord's care for us and trusting that he's going to take care of our emotional needs as we continue to pray for those things that we desire to see change. So we want to be serving with our whole hearts and just really seeking to be content in the Lord. We can rest in knowing that as we obey the Lord, he's going to take care of our every need. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The Lord has done so much for us, and he is going to bless us with the things that are within his realm of sovereignty. We must remember the cross, and when we have that heart of gratitude for the cross and what he's done, that this life is short and that we're going to be in eternity with him and free from pain and loss, then there's so much consolation in that. For some of us, I think there will be a good amount of pain in this lifetime because we do not get what we initially dreamed of for marriage. I love this quote by John Piper that says, "Occasionally weep deeply over the life that you hoped would be. Grieve the losses, feel the pain, then wash your face, trust God, and embrace the life that he's given you." I love this quote of just being real and authentic and weeping before the Lord and grieving the losses, feeling that pain, but then that exhortation to stand up and wash your face, something about that, just washing off those tears, trusting the Lord and embracing the life that he's given you, finding all the good that is in your marriage, looking for all the good in your husband so that you're not constantly looking at other things or who you want him to be or how you want him to be differently. Ask the Lord to show you how to find joy with this life and glorify him. Start with gratitude and filling your heart and mind with his promises. So when we're filling our hearts and minds with his promises and we're thanking him for all of the blessings, it's so helpful to get us going, put one foot in front of the other as we continue to seek to glorify him and do what's right before him individually. Because in marriage, there's two of us, but we each have to start with our own selves. We each have to look at our own selves and where we stand before the Lord, because we will stand before him alone in the end. So that's number 5. Be resolved to daily surrender your hopes and dreams for your marriage, trusting in God's care for you. So there you have it. Those are the 5 resolutions that I wanted to share with you today. And I just want to encourage you guys to keep your eyes fixed on this specific mission that the Lord has for you and who you want to be as a wife, so that you don't lose sight of it with all of the distractions of life. It's so easy for us to lose sight of what God has right in front of us, this ministry right in front of us. And ministering outside of the home is beautiful and serving other people, but that tends to be easier than what's done at home. And so we tend to sometimes even subconsciously not want to face the ministry that's right in our home because it's more challenging. It's more death to self. It's more painful at times. But God has everything that we need to give to live a life of godliness and righteousness before him. And as we seek him and we pour our hearts out before him, he's going to give us all the strength that we need to be godly wives. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for just saving us, Lord, for giving us hope and joy in this life that can often be filled with so much pain and suffering. We thank you for your word, Lord, that guides us, that helps us, Lord, when we feel that we don't know which way to turn, we don't know what to do. We thank you that we can go to your word for direction, that we can find hope and help there, that we can know what to do, Lord, instead of just being lost like those that don't know you, that don't know where to turn, that just feel that there's no hope. We just thank you that we can lean on you, Lord, that you give us the strength that we need to be the wives that you want us to be, Lord, and that we desire truly to be. And so I just pray for these women today that you bless them, you bless their marriages, and give them all the strength that they need, Lord, to deal with the issues that they're facing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I think we're going to go straight downstairs.